Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah, yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic.
Hi, everybody. This is Ellen.
Hi, it's Anissa.
And this is?
Anissa and Ellen Raw.
Yay.
Real authentic women. That's us.
Happy Thursday.
Yes. Today, though, I was even saying in cycle class today, from the time I woke up, I kept thinking it was Wednesday, which is actually the good way to be about it, because it's worse when you think it's Friday when it's Thursday. But even when I would say today is Thursday, there was like a voice in my head that said, no, it's Wednesday. And I'm like, okay, I know it's Thursday. And it wasn't until after cycle class, I'm like, okay, I'm owning Thursday now.
Oh, I thought that it was Tuesday all day today, which is kind of weird that you just brought that up. It didn't even hit me that tomorrow is Friday.
Right.
Because so booking meetings, I'm like, well, if we can't do it tomorrow, can we do it the next day? And they're like, well, the next day is Saturday.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, it's true. It is.
It's that moon energy. This week we had like a really eclipse moon thing going on. It's got to be that.
I'm completely clueless to
or
all
like,
of that
I
stuff.
I think they said Mercury's in retrograde or, you know, there's something. There's something going on.
Well, that's a good sort of segue into a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. Hey.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that. Looky there.
So what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about all things spirituality.
Yeah. And I think
and what that
we
means
haven't
to us.
Yet
right.
In all the podcasts that we've done, we haven't touched on, spirituality and the authentic woman and. So I think Anissa and I are going to tell you, first of all, what spirituality means to each of us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let Anissa start.
Mm-hmm.
I know. She's probably going to take up the whole entire podcast.
It is kind of my jam, though. So spirituality to me is not a thing. It's not a portion of your life. It's not... it's all things. It's everything.
I agree.
Yeah. It's, it cannot be separated from other things. It is.
I absolutely agree.
It is the one, and it's hard for me to talk about because for me, my spiritual practice is, it's hard when I try to put into words because it's very experiential mm-hmm. for me. I don't feel that language serves it. So it's hard for me to sometimes find the words to talk about it because it is just something that I literally feel mm-hmm. in my body. And I mean, it's everything to me. It's the most important thing that I honor in my life is my relationship. Now, I happen to use the term God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I may say universe or whatever, but I resonate with the term mm-hmm. God. I also resonate with the ideal of Jesus mm-hmm. and things, but I don't consider myself necessarily religious,
mm-hmm.
although I do have some religious experiences in life that mm-hmm. were fabulous and wonderful
yeah.
and very enlightening, but that's not like how I approach, I guess, spirituality. I'm
right.
kind of much more open.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that people who are religious can't be open. I'm not making
right.
that determination.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm the same way. I don't, it's very difficult to describe it. It's very difficult to, because it's not a thing. It's more of, you said it's, you know, more of an experience. It is, but it's more of a, it sort of just floats, you know? It just sort of floats in and out of you. So I grew up Catholic. I don't,
No joke.
Yes.
Huh. I became a Catholic. I went through, didn't go to catechism because I wasn't a kid, mm-hmm. but before I married my first husband, I went through, I can't remember what they called it, but yeah, I became Catholic before that. I had Catholic mass for my wedding, my first wedding.
I went to Catholic school where you had to go to church every day. But the great thing about it is we were so used to being in church. Mm-hmm. It was nothing for us. Like, you know, some folks, church is a very sacred area, and it was. But, I mean, we ran up and down the aisles and jumped on benches, you know, because we were just so used to it. Mm-hmm. And when we lived in the Philippines, you go to church every day. And so I cherish all of those experiences. I am Catholic. I don't practice it as religiously as I used to, but if anybody were to ask me, I would say, yes, I'm Catholic, but it's more of a spiritual thing. So I don't, as long as everybody has some sort of essence, I use the term God, but in order to try to include everybody, I normally will say the powers that be or the universe. But it's a very, I agree with you. I think it affects everything. It touches everything. It's not a separate, you know, we always talk about mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. I think all three are one. You know, there are facets to each one of those things, but they all intertwine together and they all mesh together and they all work together. And you have to be at peace or you have to be healthy in all three of those areas to acknowledge all three of those areas to be able to, you know, live a healthy life, whatever that is for you. So,
and a fulfilled life. So,
exactly.
I mean, I think a lot of times people get, when you don't feel kind of that connection mm-hmm. to your source or God or mm-hmm. Having that, for me, you know, my bodily form is just what my soul happens mm-hmm. to live in. And, you know, I'm this historical person, Anissa, right? But
right.
I'm so much more than that. Just like you're so much more mm-hmm. than the historical person, Ellen Nicol. Brian's so much more than the historical person, Brian.
Right.
That is just the form that we're walking in. Mm-hmm. And that, the wonderful thing about your body and why I'm passionate about what I do, you know, for my gig is because I think there's a sacredness to how you care for your physical form mm-hmm. because that's the only way that God can work through you.
And that's part of my struggle that I'm having with this whole menopause thing. Mm. And, you know, initially when, you know, it's so easy to sort of compartmentalize it and lump it into, well, I'm having issues with my physical body and, you know, how I'm feeling. But I've come to learn over the months that the whole spiritual aspect of it and it all intertwines. So if I'm not healthy in one area, then it affects the other areas. Or if I neglect or I'm not aware of where I am in the other areas, in my mind, in my spirit, it completely affects how I view and how I'm feeling about, say, the physical. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. And so it's interesting because I don't think, I think back to all of these years that, you know, when you're moseying through life, mm-hmm. if I've ever been that aware of, so it almost is that whole cliche. It takes something to happen to you, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, very tragic or, you know, I don't think this is what I'm going through is tragic at all. I mean, it's something I'm going through. Yes, it is a struggle for me. Yes, I battle it. Yes, I have my moments. But, you know, in the grand scheme of life, it's, you know, I'm going to be okay, you know. But it's made me more aware of my thinking patterns, how I feel about stuff. You know, I've talked to God a lot more about it. Isn't that, it's so crazy. You know, I think back and I mean, there have been moments in my life where I've reached out and asked. I'm a true believer in
sure.
reaching out and asking for help from God, the powers that be in the universe. And I've always gotten answers. I've always been led to where I need to be. If you just quiet down and listen, you know, but it's just an interesting thing.
Well, and I think that that's what the trials are for, is to wake you up. And when I say wake you up, I mean spiritually.
Right.
I mean to help you to understand. And I think that our world right now, that we're in a different shift in the way that people think about things. I mean, if people didn't talk about subjects like this as much when I was growing up. I mean, you may have talked with your friends about you went to church, but certainly there weren't books on the bookshelf about all of these different things. I mean, there weren't the Eckhart Tolles. There weren't, you know, some of these other, the Gabby Bernsteins and the mainstream people that were talking about these things, Marianne Williamson. And now we have that. And so I think that we're being led as even a humanity towards this level of awakening.
Right.
So I think that the things that come to us are meant to do that,
meant to
shift our perspective to think about, wait a minute, there's something more here. And I could remember, so my first spiritual awakening happened when I was 29 years old. And the funny thing is I've had every ninth year for me since then has been a huge shift year for me. So 39 was, 49 was. But when I was 29, I can remember waking up one day. And the day before that, I was just walking around, living my life, whatever, just like, and I, well, I guess you would say a normal person, but I don't really know that that's true now. I'm very unaware and awake person. And I'm not saying that I had some big nirvana, whatever experience at 29. It's not like I was, you know, became the Buddha. I'm not saying that at all. Trust me, I fucked up some major shit since then. So I've had many unaware moments, but there was a shift in my perception. And I understood, not from a mental standpoint, but from a true knowing standpoint, that life was not just about what I was looking at. There was something inside me that was beyond my physical form that was with me all the time, that observed the way my life was lived, that was there watching. And it, I didn't know that the day before. And then when I was 29, all of a sudden, and you, I can't tell you, Ellen, how many times I fucking wish to go back before I realized that. Because once you know, then the, boy, does everything unravel. Everything that you think things were about just unravels. And you have to learn to make choices consciously, not all the time. I mean, even still, I try to do better, but I don't know. I think that you hold yourself to a different level of accountability. It's not like other people are holding you to that accountability. Hell, they're just getting their groceries.
I mean, I know.
You know, but you do because you know, it's like, you know, you're not going to take that. You see someone drop a $20 bill. You're not going to pick it up and put it in your pocket because you fucking know that life's not about that 20 bucks. Life is about the choice you're about to make. And whether or not you're coming from a conscious, loving perspective of who your internal spirit is. And there are other times where maybe not about picking up somebody's 20 bucks, but there are other times where I'll be like, nah, screw that. I'm just going to make the unconscious choice because it's not that detrimental. But there are times still where I'm like, you know, I don't care.
Well, you know, if that 20 bucks is still there, like the next day, I totally will pick it up.
Yeah, that's true.
I,
when you whisper, excuse me, sir, did you drop your 20?
And then he doesn't hear you.
You kick it under the bush. I think you dropped your $20.
Well, my spiritual awakening came in, I want to say around 2006, I want to say. And it came when I saw the, when Oprah on the, my mother-in-law was, in, my mother-in-law and father-in-law were in town to visit. And so I was, I had taken a day off and we were watching Oprah, which was on at like 4 o'clock, I think. Today. And she had, she was featuring the book, The Secret.
Yes.
Okay. So you know how it is when you've got guests and it was in the background. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, the four of us were sitting around watching Oprah. It just happened to be on TV, but something triggered in my mind, and I watched it with my mother-in-law, and I went out that evening after dinner, and we went to Barnes & Noble's, and I bought her a copy and myself a copy. And up until that point, and I know some people are going to go, oh my gosh, that book. I absolutely love the book. And all the books after that she wrote. But until that point, you know how things happen in your life and you're just, you don't quite understand, and they hit you funny, and, you know, one-offs are fine. You know, something hits you funny one-off and you're like, I wonder what that means. And that's kind of weird. And oh my gosh. And then it happens like randomly a couple other times, like various, you know, months later or however. And then you're just sort of, okay, what, this is so weird. What's going on? I don't know. It could be a coincidence. It could be karma. It could be whatever it is. But you notice these things and you kind of wonder about them. And then I read this book. And so the book itself, I love the concept of it. And I completely believe in the law of attraction. And it's served my life since then. You know, if you put love out in the world, it comes back to you tenfold. If you people can sit there and argue with you. Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. The whole concept's ridiculous. The concept is what you make of it. Like it's however you manage it. So if it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't work for me, it doesn't work for me.
Right.
But the reading that book just made me do research on other things that I felt were connected.
It was like the initial thread.
Right. And so then I started really reading Eckhart Tolle and like all of these other authors and really doing more research. I'm an avid reader, and my favorite thing to read are self-help and self-motivational books, whatever they are. I mean, when I go to the beach, I will read, you know, I joked at work that I was going to be on the beach on vacation reading, you know, trashy romance novels with swashbuckling pirates named
Tristan
and Sage. But I really wasn't, though I did like back in the day. But it just opened my brain. And it then all of those things that I questioned before, I was like, okay, so maybe that's what that means. And so the great thing is, you know, open-minded enough to think about it. I'm not so closed-minded that I'm like, okay, that's bullshit and stupid. But, so it just made me more aware of, because up until that point, you know, to me, you were just religious, you know, you were Catholic, you were Lutheran, you were Baptist, you go to church or you don't go to church, you do 10 commandments, you break them, you're a sinner. I mean, up until that point, I was very one track. I wasn't very open-minded I shouldn't say that because I grew up, I was raised open-minded. I don't think I thought about it really.
You just went to church.
Yeah. I just went to church. But the great thing about the word spirituality and the notion and the concept of it is it's very inclusive in meaning, and it's positive meaning, even if you believe a certain religion or, you know, whatever you believe, you can talk in terms of spirituality as, in my opinion, as opposed to Catholicism versus, you know, being Baptist. Like people are very, when it comes to religion, they hold it so tight and so close. I mean, it's a very hot subject, you know, passionate. People are very passionate. I mean,
wars are started over that.
Yeah. And so when you talk about just spirituality, I feel like it's a little bit more inclusive. Like you can sit with a group of people who may not believe or think what you think, but you can as a whole talk about your spiritual awareness, you know, and how you live your life that way or whatever.
You can even be agnostic and still have the idea of a human consciousness or evolution and still have a conversation that can be on some of those same points without it really does include everyone.
I think so too. I also, and you know, we're talking about it today, you know, in terms of Real Authentic Women and the group and what we're all about, because it affects you. You have to, there has to be some spiritual awareness in order to authentically speak your truth, you know, to,
for sure.
It's when it comes to, you know, the creator and being here on earth and how everything evolves and how everything sort of navigates in the course of your life and everybody's life. If you don't have some sort of awareness about it, if you don't think about it, if you don't, and there are rawiers out there who maybe that's the one area of their life that they struggle with. Maybe they've got the, you know, maybe they're super fit and they wellness and health and wellness are sound and, you know, no issue, you know, don't have to go to a therapist right. for any, you know, issues that where they struggle. But there's this one area that they're just not sure of because they just don't know, or they're not comfortable. It's like, because it can be a little weird. You know?
I'm really weird.
Because Anissa's really weird.
I'm really weird.
My sister's a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, Christy, we wanted Adelpha.
Yes.
We grew up calling her Christy, okay? Don't everybody be fooled. She may be called Adelpha now, but she was Christy. Anyway, we wanted her to call in and speak to it as well. And so we will. We'll have her on. And she has a very interesting take. Tiffany.
Yes.
Has a very, she's very spiritually aware. So it's, you know, it's just one of those, things that I think people are comfortable talking about they're more comfortable talking about their physical, the issues that they have with their health and wellness. And
or their, even people, their relationship issues their whatever issues.
And I think more people are becoming more comfortable talking about maybe mental health issues just because it's been up front. And, but you know, when you're talking about spirituality, it's still, I think,
well, and
people just not.
I think a lot of that even comes from because if you're having an open mindset about that, some of the dogma of religions see that as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes about the dogma instead of really what it is, which is our ultimate oneness.
Right.
And so, you know, all of the rules, I'm not saying that the rules are not useful. I think the rules are there to guide us how we're supposed to live our lives. Like, you know, you tell your child, don't touch the hot stove.
Right.
Right. I mean, you do that. So we're meant to have these rules for living so that we, you know, don't completely screw everything up. But there's something that goes so far beyond the rules. And for me, it's an experiential practice with my meditation that when I am meditating, and not every day is a great day of meditation, you know, it's a process and it's a practice. But the thing that I take most away from my meditation practice is the veil between, I don't even know if that's the right word, but the veil between what life is and what life really is falls away. And I am left with fewer barriers between what is in front of my eyes and what's real, because I don't think what's in front of my eyes. Yes, I know it's real. If I'm holding something, I don't think that like someone's gonna be like, oh, well, is that table there real? Yes, yes, I get that. Okay, the table is freaking real. I'm talking about the source behind all of those things that I can feel that presence from doing the meditation. So I don't have, and my husband and I will have discussions about this because that is really not his cup of tea.
Right.
And, he doesn't really understand how I feel about things, and probably even I'd venture to say that he probably worries about, you know, whether or not I head in the wrong direction or possibly thinks that I might, you know, drift off into some far space. And I can't explain it adequately to him because he's in a space of fear.
He is.
And I don't have any fear in my spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fear. There's only love.
I don't have any fear.
Because I don't think there's fear mm-hmm. in it.
Exactly.
That is the opposite of it.
I have complete peace.
Yes.
About it.
Beyond all understanding. And it doesn't mean that I live in lollipops mm-hmm. and unicorns all the time. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that even Jesse said, Jesse mm-hmm. talked about, for those of you that maybe you're listening for the first time, Jesse is my second oldest daughter. She also is a meditator. She mm-hmm. every single year I buy her a subscription to Headspace because she just loves it. And she's probably she's the only one of my children that is like me in that way. But she said after the last podcast, she's like, oh my gosh, Mom, I loved it. And she said, please, please, whatever you're doing, keep meditating
mm-hmm.
because it's making you so different. Whatever it's doing, she's like listening to you. I don't know. I think it's like not listening to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, you're different. She says, as I listen to you on the podcast and whatever you're talking about, your meditation is helping that. And that's what I mean by mm-hmm. it strips away.
Well,
the ego.
I will say this. For the last several years, especially since menopause has set in, and I've been very vocal about it with friends at the gym, especially on Facebook and Instagram, I've had so many of our fellow yoga instructors, our yogis, Myla, Megan, tell me the number one thing that will help you is to start meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember last year, my resolution was I was going to become more, really get into it. And even Myla, who's a really good friend of ours, and mm-hmm. she's a phenomenal yoga instructor. And she's
a phenomenal human.
Oh, she is. She was my studio manager. She's phenomenal. She was going to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never, you know, I could have made the time. Things were just wonky at the time. So it's completely my fault. But I want to be a meditator. I want to get into meditation. I have a lot of friends who do it. My sister does it. Anissa does it. But I didn't really see visually what meditation does to somebody until Anissa went down to Florida and hung out with me for our raw retreat. And she meditates every morning and every night. Like, she was in the bed, you know, the bed next to me. I'm sitting there on my computer in one bed. She's in the other bed. It's almost time, you know, to shut the lights off. And she's like, I'm just going to sit here and meditate. And I'm like, how in the world can you do that when the lights are on and I'm typing away on my computer? And she completely tunes me out. And for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, she meditates. And she's different. Every time she does it, she's, and I'm not saying she's like this crazy woman and all of a sudden she's calm. No, every time she meditates, it changes her just a little bit and it makes her more, I don't know how to describe it. It's not that she's more loving and she's more calm because she's already loving and calm. There's just some sort like the peace that it's almost as if you're like, your just whole peaceful being just becomes more peaceful. I know that sounds so crazy, but
no,
that's
not
what
to
it
me,
is.
It doesn't because I feel and, it yeah, in my body.
And, you know, and then there were times when we were down there for, I don't know, 2.5 days where Anissa would say, you know what, she would have a moment and she'd say, I just need to meditate for a moment, or she'll just take a breath. And I do the whole breathing. There are a lot of times where I'll just take a deep breath, and there are times where I'll close my eyes, but to like really fully engage and fully shut everything out. That's what I want to learn to do.
So here's the thing. I told Ellen a while ago, I'm so glad this came up. Remember how I told you that I had this great idea for you about meditation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want you to think about when you're doing your
and
photography.
Whenever, let me just say, whenever she says, I want you to think about, it's like,
here comes
okay.
the Aries.
However, it always, you should always take her advice when she tells you, I want you to think about.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about that, but so when you're doing photography, mm-hmm. all right, and I even want to think about, I'm not talking about when you're doing a selfie or when you're doing staged photography, like when we all take the group shot right. at the end. I'm not talking about
my,
that.
My candid.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when you are walking around the room and you grab those shots and you grab mm-hmm. those shots. When you are holding your camera and you are positioning yourself, and maybe it's a millisecond or a fraction of a millisecond that you're about to snap, what tells you to snap that picture? Where, how, what is that receptivity
mm-hmm.
prior to that moment? Can you identify that? Can you get a sense of what that is?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's meditation.
mm-hmm.
Because you're 100% in the present moment.
Right.
That's all meditation is. It's singular concentration on a single thing in the present moment. That's all it is.
See, and that
it's
makes
not
sense
getting
to me.
Your mind to shut up, although that is a side effect mm-hmm. of meditating. But if you sit there and say, I'm not going to think, I'm not going to think, oh, good luck to you.
Yeah.
You're
and
screwed.
Truth be told, I do. I'm like, sometimes yeah. I'll lay, mm-hmm. you know, I'll lay in the bed or I'll sit up in a dark space and I'll try to shut everything out. And it's almost impossible.
No.
I'm focusing
hard
on it. Yeah.
Right. So resistance is the antithesis to meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation is acceptance. So mm-hmm. if you are resisting, you're just going to get more of what you're resisting. And that's fine. That doesn't mean that you can't call your attention back to the area of focus mm-hmm. when you are meditating, whether that's on a mantra or your breath or whatever the case may be, a feeling in your heart, whatever you want, right? You doesn't mean you let the toddler, your attention go mm-hmm. off as soon as you realize that you've lost your attention, you bring it back. But when you're taking your pictures mm-hmm. and you're at that space where you are completely receptive to the present moment and then you capture that shot, that is meditation.
Meditation.
That's
See,
it.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And with that...
We're good.
Mic drop.
This is good.
So
I know it's
know
the mic
how
drop.
To meditate.
Yeah.
You know how to meditate.
I do.
You do
well,
it
now,
all the time.
Well, now, when you say it that way, absolutely.
That's
I do.
All it is. That's it.
I was
it.
Thinking it was like, you know, mm-mm. sitting in a dark room and shutting everything out.
It can
out
be, but it doesn't have to be.
Breathing and...
It can be.
Because then I start thinking about the laundry and
mm-hmm.
my stomach
you.
Growls and I'm mm-hmm. starving and...
Right? Yep. So it can be those things,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but it doesn't have to be those things.
You're so good for me. And she is weird, y'all.
I am weird.
Like even
right.
looking at her right here, she's weird.
You go, Ellen.
Oh, okay. So I think that's a wrap for that
that's
one.
That's a wrap for that one.
I loved
one.
It. We needed it.
We
need
did.
To sort of introduce it. So just reminding everybody that you can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms.
You can visit atlpn.com, atlantapodcastnetwork.com. And we're also on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and thank God, Spotify.
You can search for Brian and his, excuse me, my throat for all of a sudden, Brian and his awesomeness at ATL Podcast Network on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes.
He's also Atlanta Podcast Network yep. on Instagram as well. And then, of course, me, Ellen Nicol.
And I'm Anissa Amison.
And then our group is Anissa and Ellen Raw, Real Authentic Women. We'd love for you to join if you want. You
we
can
really
just check
would.
Out the, yeah.
Yeah. You can always look us up, any of it, either of mm-hmm. us or Anissa Ellen Raw on Instagram or on Facebook. And the link is right there
yeah.
to join the Facebook yeah. group. It's not for us. It is right. for
you.
Everyone.
Yeah.
It's for you. Yes, it's for us too. But it's not like other Facebook groups maybe where it's a lot of curated content. It's really about everyone having the chance to share
right.
and grow and nurture their spirit and their authenticity.
Yes.
And show up as a badass sometimes.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Peace out, lovey.
Peace out.